Jan hails from South Africa, now lives in Thailand, and Jan is my spiritual father. I'm proud to call him my spiritual dad, and we've shared many years together. He is a great, I was going to say friend to our congregation, but that's not even right. He's part of our family here, and Jan was able to be with us a couple of weeks ago when these services first broke out, and we are so thrilled to have him here with us this evening. I want to ask you to stand to your feet and give your very best welcome to our dear friend, Pastor Jan Nell.
Yes! Hallelujah! He's worthy. Praise God. Thank you so much. Please be seated. Wow. What a great night. I almost didn't want to hear the guest speaker. Good to see all of you and so many friends. We appreciate and love you. These are such important times. We live in times where all over the world I get the privilege of traveling, and all over the world there is just chaos wherever you go. There is a rise in all types of perversion, all types of natural affection disappearing. To me, that's even worse in the sense that we just don't have feelings anymore. We don't even know how to respond anymore. We don't know how to, when the presence of God comes, it's like we have to climb up a mountain just to experience the joy. It's like we're closed down inside. And when I was praying for you tonight, the Lord said to me that tonight needs to be a time of setting free. People need to get taken out of a place of being bound. I love that song, young lady. Where's our worship leader? What a great song, freedom. You're doing a great job. We bless you. Freedom. God's going to free us up. The measure of your freedom is when you step into the presence of God, your ability to connect with Him, your ability to instantaneously sense His presence, to know where He is and what He's doing, to be so close to the Lord, to be so connected, means we've been liberated, means we're free. It means we can go into any situation and we're not on the defense. We're liberated. I don't care what you think of me. I love you. You know what I mean? It's just you've got a freedom inside. You're not bound by people's opinions and attitudes and responses. You overcome evil by doing good. You're liberated. You're free. There's nothing inside you that's complicated. It's so great seeing you, my brother. There's so many people I like in this place. Many years ago, in fact, it was 1975. I was in the midst of a war in my country. I was a part of the forces, and I met Jesus. What I didn't realize is I met Him in a time of revival. People were desperate. I want to tell you something. You do not want to wait until your country is in a mess, worse than it is now. You don't want there to be no safety on the streets. You don't want to have disasters around you, that every night on the news, all you hear is bad news. Defense headquarters regret to announce the death of, heard that every night. Children and moms lost their dads. Brothers, many, many people were lost in that war. our black friends went through hell on earth. I could tell you the stories you'd vomit if I told you. How they terrorized the people of our nation. And in that environment, God in His incredible mercy and goodness reached down and started to release manifestations of the spirit realm because people started to really cry out to God. We didn't have prayer meetings. You prayed. You didn't have to organize it. You prayed because there was no other answers. And in that atmosphere, God visited our nation with such unbelievable power. I was born into that. I was born into an environment where God was manifesting angels in our midst all over. Everybody had just about seen angels. We stepped into a world of the supernatural. But the reason for that was because people came to the end of themselves. We don't have to be forced to come to the end of ourselves. We can do it by choice. We can make a decision that we want to see God show up. Desperation and expectation are the keys to God's visitation. If you're not hungry, Pastor Glenn told us, if you're not hungry or thirsty, He doesn't respond. He wants us to really reach out. And so out of that revival came in my heart a dream, a deep hunger to see much more than the average that we see in church. I love church. I love God's people. But I'm so disappointed that we fall short of the experience which He's planned for us to experience. Far short of the experience. I was privileged when I went into the ministry, another wave of the Holy Spirit hit our nation. I started to see some of the most unbelievable manifestations of God. Pastor Glenn told me that you know, there was a bit of difficulty with people falling and, you know, some people got hurt. We had such incredible meetings. People came from everywhere where I lived just to come and be in the presence of God. Wives never told their husbands. They would come to ladies' meetings during the day. We would pack a large lounge. We would pack it with women. There wouldn't be place to move. One of the nights while we were doing that, we had a prayer line. I just felt the Lord say, you know, He wants to just touch some people in a certain way. And this whole line of women came forward. The presence of God was so powerful you could cut it with a knife. I'm not exaggerating. You know what I'm talking about, Pastor Glenn. Just so thick, the atmosphere was filled with the glory of God. I mean, you have to watch what you do in those moments. They are sitting on every available little piece of furniture they can find. They're on the floors, they're on the stairs, they're everywhere. And sitting in front of me is a woman on a little, what we call, Brad, you'll remember, it's nice to see you, Brad, a little bunkie, which is a little stool type thing. It's wooden edges, sharp wooden edges. And so she's sitting on this, and I'm busy just waiting. Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to do? And I lifted up my hand, and I thought, no, I'll go start there. But I'd already lifted my hand. And the power of God, a woman who was visiting from South Africa, the power of God hit her. She went down like she was hit with a baseball bat. She went, shoo! And at the end of her fall, her head hit the corner of the little bunkie between this woman's, her name was Tracy's, legs. Her head split open. There was blood everywhere. Not what you want on a quiet Christian ladies' meeting. So, you know, I have a policy. If you don't look, it's not there. Ignore it, it'll go away. So I just ignored it. Tracy jumped up. She's a nurse. She runs to her bathroom. She's going to get cotton wool bandages. I mean, it's just, she walks in with a bowl of water. It's horrific. By now, they've picked this woman up. They've put her on a bench. I'm trying to just pray for people. I mean, the visitors' eyes are out like this. What have they come to? Blood everywhere, people falling over, people screaming, you know, people shaking. So what is going on? But as that woman fell, another woman prayed for her and just asked God to touch her. So when they put her on the couch and now they're starting to wash down her hair. And now Tracy is a bit of an emotional being. So she screams, "Ah!" So I look at her like, "Don't be stupid on me." I said, "What is it, Tracy?" She says, "There's no cut." She said, "I promise you, Pastor, there is no cut." Woman jump up from their chairs. They run to this woman. They like a bunch of monkeys in her hair. Examining. The woman's out. Weirdest meeting I've ever been in my life. There was not a sign that there had been any cut. Her hair was full of blood. So anyway, we leave her out. She's just, you know, that's it. Carry on with the meeting. She goes home afterwards. I get a phone call. "Pastor Jan, I don't want to be disrespectful, but can you please explain why I've got blood in my hair?" I said, "Jackie, that's your blood." She said, "Pastor, I want to tell you I'm fairly emotional at the moment because I don't like other people's blood in my hair and I don't know what's going on." She said, "There is nothing wrong with my head. Nothing. I have no bumps. I have no cuts. How can there be blood out of my head, Pastor, if I've not got a cut?" I said, "Well, I can take you to a crowd of women that will tell you that your head split open like a melon. And that God healed it instantly by his presence." She so struggled to believe that. But that's the environment in which we lived. Signs and wonders. God was doing the most unbelievable, miraculous stuff. And I'm telling you, it's coming to you. More and more. It's going to get stronger and stronger. Over this weekend, yes. And it's not going to be in one church. It's already falling in other churches. It's all over the place. Mark Engel phoned me the other day, says, "Yanni, it's fallen in our church." Mark Engel's a very good friend of ours in Ohio. It's falling all over the place. I went to Massachusetts the other night. Man, we had heaven. A woman, while we were just ministering, a woman was down, just got delivered of demons, like it was just like that. I mean, God was just moving. I turned to a woman, I pointed at her. She shot back on one leg. She bounced, shook down. I mean, it was like, the stuff's coming back. I live in that world. That's my world. Marriage is healed. Lives transformed. Drug addicts set free. One drug addict walked into our meeting. He walked into the wrong house. He was looking for somebody down the road, but this is a farming community. So he arrives at my friend's place. So she's an older lady. She's, you know, these, you have yet more Swoody Buddha froes. You know, these Afrikaans women are loving. All you got to do is open your mouth so they can stick something else in. You know what? They just push food in your mouth all the time. You've got to eat. If you don't eat, you're not happy. You know what I'm saying? So she gets this young man and she says, you're not going anywhere. You're going to stay and have some dinner with us. So that's it. He's got to eat dinner. So we arrive after dinner. He doesn't know what this is. He knows nothing about Christianity. So we just start to pray and we start the meeting. And this guy is standing looking at us like. So I feel the Lord say, just touch him. Touch him. He goes, bam, down. He's down for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. When he gets up, I mean, you can see he comes to. I go to grab his hand. He does a backward leopard crawl from me. He says, don't touch me. He says, who are you? I left him alone. 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. He goes home. He tries to take cocaine. He can't take it. He got delivered from all drugs without even asking for it. That's the stuff we're talking about. That's the God we serve. That's not for one person. That's for the body to live in. That's for us to walk into restaurants and see people set free. That our sons and daughters would prophesy, that we'd walk at such an accuracy in the Spirit. I finished doing a whole crowd of businessmen in Indonesia, Jakarta, prayed for about, I don't know how many, 100 businessmen, prophesied over every one of them. And the leadership were checking me out. They didn't know who I was, so they listened to what I said. So I finished prophesying over all. The one leader takes me out for dinner. He says to me, Pastor Yanni, we listened to everything you said. I wanted to say to him, I didn't see that at all. I mean, they're all hovering over me like, you know, felt like the Nazis. You know, I was really under interrogation. They wanted to see that I was accurate. These are their men. So he said to me, how do you get so accurate? So I said, by practice. I don't want to go into it. I just said, by practice. So he says, so do you practice all the time? I said, pretty much. So he said, we walked in here. Now, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, did you hear anything here? I said, yes. I said, the lady who served us, when she woke up this morning, she was sad because she's missing her parents. He says to her, come here. I said, oh, God. I don't want to start. I'm tired. I want to go to bed. He calls her over. He says, this man's from South Africa. He says to me that today you're missing your parents. She just starts to cry like a baby. She blubs and she blubs. She said, I woke up this morning and I just longed so much for my mom and dad. She couldn't stop sobbing. This guy said to her, you need to come to know Jesus. That's Jesus that showed him. And he led her to the Lord. Very aggressive. The Indonesians are very aggressive. They won't let you go. You're going to come to Christ. I mean, we can learn something. So he grabbed her. He didn't waste. He said, you give me your phone number. We're coming to fetch you tomorrow for church. No, not tomorrow. Sunday. Sunday for church. She cries and she cries and she cries. She can't serve anymore. She's got to go home. The owner of the restaurant looks at me like I crawled out of cheese. You know, you can imagine. He's saying, what did you do to one of my staff? Manifestations of the presence and the power of God wherever we go. Wherever we go. I'm telling the ladies this morning at the ladies' meeting, I got on a plane from Philadelphia to Hartford. And I got on, I was tired, man. I just wanted to sleep. The lady who got on wanted to talk. Hello, I'm this. And so I just said, thank you, went to sleep. Turn over. The moment she shut up, I just gone. I wake up and I can see something has been happening. We're in first class. Something has gone on. We're in the first seats. And the hostesses and stewards are not happy with this girl for some reason. And I hear this. I think is it called Tourette's disease? Where they spit and they curse and they... I thought she's got this disease thing, you know. So I'm trying to wake up. You know, give me a break. I'm just trying to, where am I? What is going on? And she's going on, and so she stands up now. We're going to get out. She turns to me and she points at me. She says, I know who you are. Now I know who you are. I should have said, sit down. Let's get this thing finished. Cast out that thing. Somebody said to me the other day, I just don't see demons in America. I thought, man, where are your eyes? But just, they're everywhere. You just have to listen to the news and you'll hear tons of it. God said to me, probably 15 years ago, I was in my church, and the door goes through the wall there to go to my office. It was Saturday night, I was praying over the church, just getting ready for Sunday. And so I walked towards the place, I got up here, and as I went to the door, the Lord said, turn around. And I turned around and I had an open vision immediately. I saw millions upon millions of flakes of gold falling all over the place. And immediately the scene changed from that to a woman's hands. And oil was pouring out of a woman's hands. So you can imagine my brain is going, what the heck is that? So I said, Lord, what is this? All he said to me is two words. Study revivals. Study revivals. I went immediately into the office. I started to study. I started to get to see what is he talking about. Little did I know that what he was actually going to do was make me see that literally happen. I got to Canton, Ohio, to a friend's church, a man called Dana Gamble. And Dana runs a place called Cathedral of Life in Canton, Ohio. While I was ministering in his church the one Sunday evening, I got to a woman, and as I put my hand on her, I smelt oil, olive oil, lots of it. Forgive me, I just thought, this woman's weird. Why would she put oil all over her head? You know, I mean, when we were kids, they made us drink castor oil. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you all have that unhappy look on your face. I know what it's like. This is good for you. Anything that tastes like it, you know, forget it. Anyway, so I smell this oil all over her. She comes to me at the end of the meeting. She says, Pastor Jan, I know you didn't, but can I just ask, did you have oil on you? So I said, no. She said, because while you were praying for me, I felt oil being poured out on the top of my head. She said, have a look at my hair. It's covered in oil. So I thought, I'm just waiting for the gold. A woman comes to me, she says to me, Pastor, I've never seen anything like this. I'm the chief intercessor of the church. She said, but as you were praying for me, I got taken through liquid gold. She said, I went through it. I thought I was going to, you know, because I thought I wouldn't be able to breathe. She said, I could breathe. She said, and I came out on the other side, and she said, look at my arms. Covered in gold. My wife, Sarah, we got home from being in one trip here in America. She washed and washed. I mean, she already showers like 20 times a day, it feels like. It's only twice a day. But, you know, whenever I see my wife, she's coming out of the shower. These tires are unbelievable, man. And she says, Yanni, I wash. It doesn't go away. What is this? I have a look, she's got gold all over her arms. For 3 months, she couldn't wash it away. Every time she worshipped the Lord, it just covered her again. What is that? What it is that heaven is invading earth. You understand that God is breaking into our environment. God is coming with his presence. You start to smell the fragrances of heaven. This, ladies and gentlemen, is not just going to be falling over. God is going to take you to new levels. You're going to be able to accomplish what you never accomplished before. Something's going to happen to your brain. Some of you need to say, thank you, Jesus. God's going to start to do things with you that make, you know, you want to fight your wife, but you can't. Now that's a miracle. You know what the registration number of, you put me in the Rye Hilton the one year, and Sarah and I pulled in, and there was a car in front of us from New York. His number plate was, yes, dear. I thought, this is a converted man. Something has died in him. You know something, folk? We live the Christian life, and we seldom see people experience the realm of the Spirit, the supernatural. We seldom experience all that God has provided coming into our present. We seldom see that. We seldom see people doing exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. We seldom see people get instantaneously healed. We seldom see the manifestation of the Spirit, where God shows up wherever we go. You say, well, doesn't it just happen in church? I'm telling you, we should, here is where we get charged. There's where we release the spark. I sit in a business meeting in Ohio this last week or two or three or whatever, whenever I was there. I sit in this business meeting as a breakfast for businessmen. They're all Mennonites. Mennonites don't believe in the Holy Ghost manifesting anymore. They think it's finished. So it's okay, I don't care. You know, one of the best arguments is experience. You can argue that there's no power until you start dancing like a pogo stick. Do you know what I'm saying? This is that which. So, I'm in the breakfast with these guys, and God says to me, today I'm visiting. I thought, whoa, there's going to be action. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. Guys are wiping sleep out of their eyes. They're trying to wake up, and God's already waiting for them. We sit down. I preach to them. I give them a sermon of about 40 minutes. Finish. And one guy gets up, walks over to me, shakes my hand. As he grabs my hand, the amperage went up. Zuck! He got hit. I could feel it. You know, like that woman that grabbed Jesus' cloak? I felt power go. I thought, something's going to happen to this guy. What I didn't know is I get a phone call 2 weeks later. This character is so bouncing in the power of God, he has to go to the bathroom. He opens the door of the bathroom and he goes, he starts speaking in tongues. He doesn't even know what tongues is about. Woo! That's good stuff, man. He got a shot of the best wine. The stuff. Wherever we go, this is where we charge. This is where God comes and he charges you up. But this is what I want to speak about tonight. I won't be long. I've only got 20 points. And I lie as well. I just want to say to you, when you bound, you can't receive like you should. I'm going to tell these guys. When you're bound, you can't receive like you should. Because God does not just come to us. He expects us to respond to His presence. So this is the problem. When you're bound, you're so emotionally caught up. You're so mentally limited. You think, I'm not going to make an idiot of myself. I'm not going to go and start to do what these characters are doing. I'm just going to stand there. Rock of ages cleft for me. You know what I mean? I'm just going to stand there. I'm not going to move. Listen, motion causes emotion. That's why the Bible is full of praise words which speak about action. You've got to move. You've got to do something. This church is expert at getting people to respond to God. I'm telling you, that's one of the reasons why God showed up here. Because whenever you come here, I mean, this has been brewing for years. I've told Pastor Glenn, this is one church, when you come to, you know you're meeting the Holy Ghost. It's here. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. Because there's a leadership that exemplify this thing of responding to God. They don't just stand around. These are people that are going to, they're going to say, let us give a shout to God. You're going to, every time you come here, you're going to give the Lord a hand and you're going to raise your hands and you're going to do a whole lot of things because they know that motion causes emotion. When you function in your response to God, then God releases to you. Now you must listen. This is an important point. If you do not respond, God does not release. If He does not release, you can't receive. Listen to this principle. If we respond to God, God releases. If God releases, it does not release, we can't receive. Do you understand the problem? So here we are. The Holy Spirit, when we start to worship, starts to move towards us. Because we're hungering after God. We're trying to touch God. As that happens, there's this move towards us, and we're looking around going, why are those guys shaking and whatever? Because what they are doing is they are responding. And in the response, there is a release. And when there's a release, you need to receive. This is a spiritual key. You've got to receive. You've got to take it in. So listen. So now the Holy Spirit comes in different forms to us. He comes to us as fire. He comes to us as wind. He comes to us as rain. He comes to us as a cloud. He comes to us in the form of a dove. He comes in a form. If we are sensitive, and we're going to teach in the next few days the whole concept of creating an environment where God manifests Himself. So if we will respond, He will release. So if He comes like rain, He's going to release what? Water. What do you do with water spiritually? You drink. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Water also washes. Water refreshes. So what you need to do is when He releases, you've got to receive. So you take it in. Thank you, Lord. Now this is the key. This is the key. We are spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings. Set them free, Lord, in Jesus' name. We are spiritual beings. Listen to me. When we're in the realm of the Spirit like this, what happens? Now, you got to switch on, okay? listen to me, we've really got to catch this. The Holy Spirit will come at you, Pete. And what will happen as you're worshiping, your spirit becomes aware of either waves or incredible love. Do you understand what I'm saying, guys? You got it? So here comes this move of the Spirit. Now how he does it is he does it through two things. Through sight or sense. Sight or sense. So what happens is while you're worshiping, you become aware of a picture. Almost like you see angels' wings. Or you feel like you sense you're being lifted. Do you know what I'm talking about? Now, that's very subtle and it's very personal. So if what you will do is that now you can't forget this because we're going to do it just now. So now when the Spirit of God moves at you, he knows your particular need. He knows you're finished, you're tired, you've had the battles. You're tired of the drama. Right? So what do you need? You need a refreshing in God. Times of refreshing. That's so that you start to get strengthened on the inside. So that you're not so down. You're not so discouraged anymore. God wants to pour into you encouragement. So God comes to you. So God comes to you by the power of the Spirit. And here he comes in the form of wind. He starts to blow on you. He starts to blow on you. And if you're wise, now he is moving toward you. You must what? No. Respond. Do something. I love you, Lord. You failed. Didn't work. I'm sensing God coming to me in the form of wind. Or spread your wings and fly.
I don't know if that's biblical.
Well, let me help you. Them that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll rise up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and they won't faint. You see, the church, while it's the greatest place to get charged up, it's sometimes the worst place to get charged up. Because when you start to respond, people think you've lost your marbles. Right? 1986 in Southampton, England, I was invited there to do an international ministers conference on the realm of signs and wonders. So I get there, they have the first evening, they're trying to minister to this one woman, and she's getting nothing. Nothing's happening to her. So one of the leading guys comes to me, his name is Pete, he comes to me, he says, and this is where God will bless a man when he humbles himself. You know, when we think we're the only guys who've got the answers and never ask anybody, we are fools. He came to me, he said, Yanni, we're stuck. We don't know what we're doing with this woman. She's bound. We don't know how to get her set free. I walked up to her, and as I walked up to her, I had the sense that she needed to go on a journey. So I said, come, ma'am, take my hand. And we started to walk. We were in Battersea Park. We weren't in Southampton. We were in London, I'm sorry. We were in Battersea Park Hall, and we're walking around the hall. And while she's walking, God's showing me, when you were this age, this happened to you. When you were this age, this happened to you. When you were this age, this happened to you. We got right around. We went through her whole life. When we got to the end, she suddenly broke free and she just started to run. She was delivered. God had broken every single bondage on her life. No more depression. No more discouragement. Set free. Well, if we left her standing, you You know what I'm saying? Let's use the old trident. No. Why don't we just listen to God? The other night here, there was a young man getting ministered to on the Saturday night. He was in some form of bondage. And as I walked past him, they were trying to minister to him. I just felt the Lord say, hit your hands together next to his head. Well, that makes no sense to me. Oh, God bless you, bro. The reason I look at it, it's sometimes those soft little girly ones. You know what I mean? And when I wipe my head, it leaves all these little white blobs all over. Where the hang was I? Clap my hand. So, thank you, my brother. I just check. If somebody's drunk from it, I'm not touching it. So what I do is I walk up to him and I just go, quah! And he hits the deck. Bam, free. What was that? I don't know. I know the Holy Ghost wanted to set him free. And the way that we traditionally do it is not going to work. You've got to hear God. Yeah. Lonnie Frisbee, who was a part of John Wimber's group. Lonnie Frisbee was a wild and, you know, ex-hippie type being. And God tells him while he's on the stage, take your coat, walk to the guy in the third in the row, smack him with your coat. Whack! So he goes, no way, Lord, I'm not going to, you don't walk up to guys and just hit them. Well, you know, you never argue with God. God wins the fight. We know the story. So he walks down to the guy. Wham! As he hits him, a cancer falls off his neck. Healed by the power of God. You want to see great things? You've got to do what you see God doing. Jesus said, I only do that which I see my Father doing. You have to keep your spiritual eyes open. In the moment of a visitation, a move of God, you've got to keep your spiritual eyes because He's moving towards you. You've got to then respond. When you respond, He releases. When He releases, you receive. Bam! You've got it. It's a key. It's a key. Most people go, Jesus, please will you heal this person? And that's okay if he told you to do it that way. Learn to flow with what he shows you. Learn to be sensitive. You walk up to somebody, you just feel the incredible compassion of God for them. Young men, listen, I don't want men and women doing this. Please listen to me. But young men, many a time I feel when I'm praying for a young man, he's never had a dad. And I'm a good dad. So I grab this guy and I hold him. Every time God tells me to do that, they cry like babies. They set free. Jesus made such an important statement when he started his ministry. He said, the Spirit of God has anointed me before he is. I've been anointed by the Spirit to preach good news to the poor, to open blind eyes, to open prison doors, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty the captives, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord's favor, a return of the things you've lost. God's here to do that. One of the things I said to the Lord, Lord, how are you going to work here? I mean, I want to serve my brother the best I can. I want to serve you the best I can. While I was driving from New Canaan this morning, God said to me, there are 6 points in that message. You have 6 meetings you will minister here. I want you at each of those meetings to release one thing. Tonight it's liberty to the captives. I want to tell you tonight, God is going to come and break something that has held you back. You're going to get liberated. You're going to get set free. You're going to start to be able to dance. You're going to be able to smile again. My wife, last story, my wife was with me at one of our leaders' meetings in South Africa. And one of our leaders, I didn't know this, very, very, very nice guy, but a very backward and coming forward type person. And Sarah told him a story that was tremendously funny. But the issue was God told her to tell the story. Sarah doesn't come and sit down and tell you stories. That's not her modus operandi. I'll tell you stories. Sarah doesn't. She told this group a story. The guy started to laugh hysterically. Sorry, I look at Pastor Glenn. When we talk about laughing, there's only one thing I remember about my brother. He loves his own jokes so much. I've got a video of him with me. We're together in Trinidad, and we're busy having lunch together, and he goes, I said, Glenn, I want you to speak into the video. So he goes, so Yanni, this man, this horse walks into a bar. And the barman says, why the long face? But he can't finish the story. He's hysterical. We've had great times. Him and I have been on the Caribbean together on jet skis, and we were like kids, man. But we got to do something like that again. God help us. Get set free. Set free. This guy, when he fell, what was happening to him, listen to me, he was being delivered. He was being delivered of sadness of his soul. God gave him back his laughter. He got up, he said to Sarah, I have never laughed my whole life. I have never laughed my whole life. One meeting we were in Malacca, Sarah was sitting in the front, very embarrassing. Sarah was sitting in the front. We're newly married. You know, I don't know what she's going to do. She doesn't know what I'm going to do. We've never been in ministry together before. Our first meeting. Before I start the meeting, I pray for her in the room for a release of the supernatural to be on her life. She walks into the meeting. I say, come with me, babe. Let's pray for these people. Whole crowd of people. I've never seen a manifestation like that. Everyone hung like a sack. They didn't fall over, they just hung like a sack. So we had all these sacks hanging around the place. It's like, doesn't look very exciting to me. You know, I like to see the action stuff. But anyway, so I finished, they all go and sit down. Sarah's sitting in the front. Now I'm waiting. I'm being really spiritual. Just, Lord, what do you want to say next? Lord, what do you want to do? There's 300 people in the room. Sarah stands up. I want to go. Too late. She stands up, turns around, looks at everybody, bows down, goes, Jesus! 300 people jump out of their chairs, go, Jesus! Second time. Third time. A mass deliverance. All are set free from a religious spirit. They start to dance. They start to clap. They start to cry. They start to laugh. God sets them free. Liberty in a moment. She turns around, sits down. That was me. I was history. I screamed with laughter. It was like she just had done what she had to do for the day. She has a thing about demons. When she sees a demon, I'm telling you, there's going to be action. Everywhere we go, she chases demons. Australia, Singapore, Malaysia, everywhere. Even Connecticut. So many stories. I just want you to know that this stuff really works. That God is really real. And that the power has not even been turned up yet. This is going to go one way or another. But I'm telling you, the balance is this. Are we here for the experience, or are we here for the change? I've had the experiences. I thank God for the experiences. The experiences do not guarantee a change. What guarantees a change, ladies and gentlemen, is the condition of your heart. I like something I see in this church. I like the look on the faces of the people who are up on the front mostly. Listen, I wasn't born yesterday. I like the look on the faces of the people, especially the worship group. They're chasing after God. There are people in this room, I trust it's every one of you, that is not here to see what happens. But is here with something deep in your heart that says, I don't want to live the way I've always lived. I want to move to a new place. I want to start to become what God's made me to be. I want to live in the world of the supernatural. I want to be God's first choice. Consider us your people, Lord. Use us, Lord. If nobody else is going to go, we'll go. We're not playing games. This isn't a party. This is a preparation. People who have a declaration without a demonstration don't bring glory to God. If all you do is talk about you need to be a Christian, you need to be a good person, and there's no backup. Paul says, Romans chapter 15, verse 9, he says, I fully preached the gospel throughout Asia with signs following. Yep. The gospel is connected to signs and wonders. Yes. And it should be coming through you and me, through our children and our children's children. We should be the most feared people in this town. Jerusalem, it was like that. They feared the Christians. Such power was on them that even the shadow of Peter would fall on a person, they'd be healed. Guys, we've been around too long. The days are getting short. God's looking for a people. And I feel Him watching, saying, which way is this going to go? And it's in our court. Don't ever visit, you and the webcams, don't go where you should go, the house of God, these meetings where God's pouring out, and just sit there and be an observer. Don't be just a participator. Be a person that fully takes responsibility to say, I'm going to leave here different. I'm not going to come out of this place without something having been adjusted in my heart. Because after all, if there are manifestations without changes, what is that? It's entertainment. We're not here to be entertained. We're here to be equipped. God help us to do that. Amen. God bless you. All right. I want to pray for people to get set free tonight. If you find there's something that just holds you back, you know you're living, you know, you watch people before you relate to them. You're not open. You're not free. Your thought life is always in the negative. You're just not what you know you should be. Jesus, not us, Jesus is here to set you free tonight. That's His word. And I believe what He's going to do is He's just going to touch your body and instantaneously that aspect of your life is going to be adjusted. Are you in faith for that? I love what Pastor Glenn said. He said after the Lord touched him, he gave his testimony. He said after the Lord touched him, He got up and he liked people that used to irritate him. Right? Well, no, you told us from the front. You're trying to tell me no one ever irritated you? I want to be like that. He put a hunger in my soul that day. Because I want to tell you, I looked at my life and I started to find that, you know, I've got, because I know so much, it's easy to criticize. I can see the junk, and the junk irritates me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I want to be free of that.
Yes.
I don't want to be a guy who looks at the body of Christ and go, God, when are they going to grow up? I want to see in you the glory of my King. I want to change. You hear what I'm saying? That's the stuff I want us to get free of tonight. Amen. Come on, if you want prayer, I don't know how this works, but you just do it.
Thank you, Jesus. As we move to ministry time, if you'd like to receive prayer, then we want to invite you to come and stand on one of these blue lines. When all of the lines are full, if you would just wait in the center aisle and the ushers will help you. When a space opens up along the line, then the ushers will help you find your way to a place. Everybody who wants to receive prayer this evening will receive prayer, will receive ministry. And let's just open our hearts to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Come on, would you lift up your hands? Melissa, team, come on, I want you to help us. Let's keep the worship going and let's just lift up Jesus. Come on, help us out. Thank you, Jesus.
The Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom.
Forget about each other. Forget about looking up in the stage. It's you and the Lord right now. Why are you standing here? Get that clear first. What do you want? You don't have because you don't ask. Ask Him right now. What do you want? What do you want? Jesus. I'm going to pray a prayer, a general prayer that will bring a deliverance to those standing in this front here right now. When I say in Jesus' name, God's power is going to come towards you and you receive. Amen. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I pray right now. Every single bondage, every limitation, every wound from the past, every lie of the devil, every limiting thought. Right now, you come off of their bodies, off of their minds, off of their hearts. In the name of Jesus, now I declare a liberation, a breakthrough in Jesus' name. Receive, 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 receive in Jesus' name. Receive. Let it go. Let it go. We agree together it's going tonight. Men are going to be free in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Power, Lord. Your power. Fall all over, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Liberty, Lord. Liberty, Lord. Liberty, Lord. Liberty, Lord. Liberty, Lord. Liberty. Right there, Lord. Set it free, right there. Thank you, Lord. Jesus.